Hello and welcome to the brand new Humboldt Grown podcast, created to connect local farmers to timely resources, discuss key issues, and better connect us all together. I'm your host, Ivy North, Agricultural Programs Director for the North Coast Growers Association. Today, I'm joined by Silas Sarvinsky, Farm Manager at College of the Redwoods, to talk about the brand new Climate Resilient Farmer Training Program, focused on practices such as reduced water use, seed saving practices, carbon farming practices, and tools and infrastructure created specifically for our local farming community here in Humboldt and Del Norte. Be sure to stick around till the end for a rundown of key dates and details. Let's dig in. All right, Silas, thank you so much for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I was thinking about, I think the first time that I met you was probably about 10 years ago at the farmer's market. I know your mom a little bit, Ginger Sarvinsky, and I was talking to her at the Sarvinsky Family Farm booth, and I met you. And I am curious if you could tell me a little bit about your family's connection to farming.
Yeah, going back to that day, we were probably selling a lot of corn and tomatoes, something that my parents have done for the past 15 or so years. But really, what my parents started in was in dairy farming in Ferndale. My dad and mom started a small farm there and had gradually expanded the dairy to where they're certified organic and milk about 150 cows. So with the vegetable side of things, my dad's family had property down in Pepperwood, which is along the Eel River on the north end of the Avenue of the Giants in Humboldt. And his dad had done vegetables in a roadside stand out there. And over time, family changes and shifts, and it ended up being in my parents' hands in the mid-2000s. And they decided to start doing farmers markets. And actually, rewinding a little bit, my mom had been doing farmers markets I think in the early 90s, growing at Pepperwood. And then I came along and it was just a little bit too much doing the farmer's market, the dairy, and raising three kids. So she took a pretty long hiatus and then started things back up when I was just getting out of high school and into college. So I was able to help out more on the vegetables and realizing that was something that I really enjoyed and it being very seasonal, from roughly, you know, harvesting from August to October. So that was kind of my first glimpse into vegetable farming. But in terms of, like, you know, my history as like being engaged in agriculture growing up, I mean, it was pretty hard to avoid it when you're living on a dairy, host of different chores and work to do. And it's kind of just what you did. And what didn't feel like work, it just felt like something that was necessary to like keep things going and all of that. So I really enjoyed working at the dairy, working for my parents' vegetable farm. And I did that a little bit out after college and then decided to go back to school, get my master's in business. And at that time I was working up in Arcata at a goat cheese creamery and doing some various things there, some management in the supply chain and such. And I enjoyed doing that, but for me, it was kind of weird working in an office and doing the 40-hour work week and all of that. And I don't know, I just like kind of always wanted to do more, and I really enjoyed working outside. And at that time too, I would still help my parents on the weekends at farmers markets and such. So the farm manager position for College of the Redwoods opened up in 2018. And I thought, wow, there would be a lot of opportunity with that, a lot of learning for me. And I knew it would be like a big task to take on if I somehow was able to get the position. So I went for it and started as a farm manager in May of 2018. So I'm going on my, I guess it would be, man, maybe fifth or sixth growing season now. It kind of gets a blur after a few, but it's been really great for me to have different students cycle through the program, get experience at the farm. And I feel like for the students too, I've only become a better farmer. And so for students that are now involved now at the farm, they're probably getting a lot more out of me that maybe than those first ones did, which I'm sure maybe they wouldn't say that. I'm sure they enjoyed it and everything, but there's a process with like doing things wrong and doing things right. So you can learn when you do things wrong too. But I feel like we're at a good place now where we operate a CSA of roughly around 50 members for 20 weeks in the season. We'll go to some offsite farmers markets, like in Eureka Old Town on Friday nights. We will do a campus farm stand and a little bit of wholesale. So we're kind of all over the place, balancing bringing in some revenue for the farm, but also focusing on education, having events out at our farm, having students come out, and being located where we're at. That's not always easy. So kind of going up against those challenges too.
That's so interesting to hear your long history with farming, you know, all the hands-on time as a kid and what that must have looked like and felt like, and then jumping into it pretty full steam as an adult. Your parents must be so proud. And then jumping into it as a teacher. I mean, that's a whole craft in and of itself. It's one thing to do something, but to teach it, I imagine that's been a journey for you as well. But it's great to know that every year things are improving and getting better. You're learning your craft more and more. Okay, so you ended up at CR, you're there now. As you know, but other folks may not know, you and I have been working together quite a bit lately on what is called the Climate Resilient Farmer Training Program, which is designed to provide long-term and sustainable strategies for climate resilience and adaptations. And it's a collaboration between CR and NCGA, never happened before. So Silas and I have had a lot of meetings over the last year. And in this program, the graduates of the program are actually going to earn a certificate from College of the Redwoods in climate resilient farming, and will complete a personalized climate resiliency plan. What's unique about this program is it's designed specifically for Humboldt and Del Norte farmers. And it's for farmers in their first 5 years of farming specifically. And the program prioritizes spaces for socially disadvantaged farmers, which includes people likely to experience racial or ethnic prejudice, such as Black and Brown farmers, Native farmers, queer farmers, and women-owned farms. And this program will be offered twice, and participants will take part in a hands-on summer and winter workshops within the program. And the idea is that these courses within this program are going to address the most critical and timely issues facing farmers in relation to climate change. And that's one of the reasons why we want it to be hands-on and really direct. And I'll provide more specific details and dates and things on the program at the end of the podcast, and provide links and all that, just so you know. But I want to be sure to note that this program, the Climate Resilient Farmer Program, is being offered at no cost. And we even have funding to provide $500 stipends to qualifying applicants, thanks to a generous grant funded by the CDFA. And so Silas, in your network of students, you've seen various cohorts go through over the years, and in your broader community of farmers, what are some key climate-related challenges that are coming up for local farmers? What are the biggest issues?
Yeah, so when I think climate-related, one of the first things that pops up is the uncertainty of weather. These past few years and beyond, you know, you've dealt with drought, wildfires, and now, you know, this past winter, a plethora of atmospheric rains or atmospheric rivers. And so best control your environment while dealing with all of these uncertainties is really important. And it can be really challenging when you're continuing to get, say, rained out of the fields. That's all down California right now. You know, farmers that would be getting into their fields already and have things planted or going are having to wait because it's just so saturated right now, the soil, and we just keep having these rains. So I think trying to provide beginning farmers with the ability to control the uncertainty of weather, again, when it changes from atmospheric rains to an extremely warm summer with warmer temperatures than we're used to, wildfires near us. Luckily, you know, we've been fortunate to avoid some areas, I would say, but in Humboldt County, mostly have been able to avoid major wildfires, but there's been close calls in Willow Creek and areas in Willow Creek that have had damage. So
absolutely.
How can we, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's been a big issue for farmers in Willow Creek. If many folks have been able to keep their farms, but even just the presence of the smoke there or the smoke damage to the grapes, things of that sort, has definitely been devastating to folks. And earlier you were saying teaching people to farmers to control the weather.
Yeah.
Did you misspeak on that?
I would say control their environment as best as possible. I mean, mm-hmm. you're never obviously going to control the weather, but
right.
when you can use season extension techniques or hoop houses or ways to reduce tillage, ways to get in your fields earlier. And
right.
again, there's not a lot we can do with wildfires, you know, in terms of in the farming environment, except for to try to be just as prepared as possible. But giving farmers like tools in their toolkit to be able to, again, like not control the weather per se, but control their like specific environment and how they're able to plant and cultivate and harvest crops. And thinking maybe a little outside the box from how it's traditionally been done.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I feel you on that. And I think folks are used to, you know, planting in certain temperatures and weather. They're used to thinking of their seasons in a certain way and just expanding on that, you know, literally expanding seasons, but also figuring out how to work with it.
Sounds yeah. And I'm sure you've seen the Arcata Farmers Market, the winter and the increase in crops that have been there when the winter market wasn't even a thing a while back. And so to be able to have skilled local farmers that have figured out how to grow certain crops pretty much year round or have crops available year round for our local community and food supply is pretty important as well.
Yeah, that's been a huge expansion in the community for sure. I mean, I remember 10, 15 years ago or so, there wasn't a lot of season extension going on. And so it was just the assumption that, you know, this was the time of year when production can be high and these times of the year less so. But as more and more folks took that risk and stepped out and tried new techniques, it's really been beneficial to a lot of farmers' businesses and of course the community.
Yeah.
Is appreciative as well to be able to get this produce year round.
Well, and like you're saying, with having such a heavy harvest in a certain time of year, like you don't have to just say like climate resiliency, but like farmer resiliency. Like farmers can get burned out when you have a, you know, huge harvest of multiple crops in a small window. If you're able to spread that out and spread out the work a little bit and spread out your cash flow too, it can be really beneficial.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And there's definitely other programs in the works to address the business side of farming as well. I mean, there's a whole resilience, business resilience angle that we could be talking about, but
yeah,
not enough time today.
Yeah.
Well, Silas, I mentioned earlier that this program is being offered at no cost, and stipends are even available to help cover the ideas that they'll help cover travel costs and loss of hours on the job, which is pretty amazing for a training program. And my hope is that this can make the program accessible to anyone or pretty much anyone who would benefit from it. And I'm excited to meet our first cohort, which will start this summer. What is it that you're most looking forward to with this program?
I would say like the group of instructors we've had are going to have like a vast array of experience in our local community, but also like beyond too. And so I think having, you know, well-qualified instructors is pretty important, right? And I think they'll be able to really share good knowledge in expertise or in areas of their expertise in these workshops. When we're talking about just, for example, like seed saving practices from Jared Sistro, who's worked for numerous years for Organic Seed Alliance, he's done trials, he's saved seed, like, you know, being able to sit in on a workshop like that and to, you know, receive some compensation on that day, like, I don't know, it just seems like a slam dunk for local farmers. You know, I also do understand that with these stipends, it's hard to give up your time, right? So
yeah.
We hope that this can be some sort of incentive to, you know, be able to step away from the farm for 2 days in the summer and 2 days in the winter. But again, yeah, just what I'm most excited about is seeing the instructors share their knowledge and resources and help, again, like those the farmers have more tools in the toolkit, as I'd like to say.
Yeah, we really wouldn't be anywhere without this list of instructors. So thanks for all your work to help assemble them. We're also going to be working with a lot of local farmers that can come in and talk about their experience in their particular situations, which are always really valuable for folks when learning new systems to really hear and see what it can look like in different situations and how it's benefited or impacted their farms.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also want to hear a bit about CR. I'm curious about what's going on in the CR Ag department. What's it looking like these days? Specifically, what's new in the department? And also, what is the department known for, would you say?
Yeah, so I'll provide just a tiny bit of backstory too for, you know, listeners that maybe don't know anything about the program. Basically, we have classes and degrees and a campus greenhouse available, you know, just south of CR at the main Eureka campus. But we also have our Shively Farm, which is located roughly about 45-minute drive south of our main campus. And so those two places are kind of, you know, for our local ag students. And the Shively Farm in particular is where the students are able to get the hands-on learning in crop production, you know, small animal ruminants, greenhouse, orchard care. It's a diversified educational farm. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And so that is one area where obviously it's like my baby because that's where I've been primarily for the past 5 years. But at campus, that's where I'd say, I guess the textbooks open up a little bit more. And what's new in our department is we have a new full-time faculty member, Robert Landry, who is leading one of these workshops as well. And he's just kind of getting associated with the program, and he's making some tweaks and changes with our degrees and certificates to make them more efficient for students. And I think just to make them kind of make more sense. And so what we have in our department is a plant science degree. That's going to be a 2-year degree where you can transfer directly to somewhere, say Chico State, and continue on past that, or really anywhere in the Cal State University system. And then we also have a general ag degree where you kind of piece together certain ag classes. You take your AA courses as well, and then you can transfer somewhere else, but maybe it's not going to be specifically in plant science, because there's a lot of obviously breakoffs of that in agriculture, not just plant science. And then we have two certificates. So we have a landscape and horticulture certificate, and then a organic and sustainable agriculture certificate. And these are created to be able to have someone complete them in a year, no more than 2 years for sure, depending on how you want to space it out too. So, and that's just like really trying to get specific skill sets and say, like the organic sustainable certificate, you'd be taking classes in plant science, organic certification, introduction to organic sustainable agriculture. So it's really like, you know, maybe you're not planning on going to a 4-year, but you want that agriculture education, you could go for one of these certificates.
We're so lucky to have these programs in our community. I talk to so many people that are currently taking classes or have taken classes and talking about how much it's informed the work they do, the farming that they're doing. And to have this so close is really incredible. And that's a lot of programs. Yes. That's a lot of degrees going on at one time. That's very cool. And I'm really happy to welcome Robert also. I saw him at a seed trial event, that Jared Zystra was putting on. And I think I may have crowded him at first. I really wanted to be sure to meet him, and be sure that he gets, integrated into the community quickly and widely, so he can get to know what's going on in the community and, do the best work that he can do. And he's been very, very generous and helpful. So I'm glad to have Robert.
Yeah, he's been great to work with thus far. And then aside from Robert, we have other associate faculty that teach other courses in the program. So one, for instance, is Brianna D'Amato. She has operated our greenhouse for a while and worked on local farms. And so right now she's teaching plant propagation in our greenhouse on mm-hmm. campus. Mm-hmm. And she's also teaching an agriculture class at Cal Poly Humboldt. So pretty neat to see her in both of those worlds. And I'm really happy for her to be teaching there. And then we've had, you know, different instructors. Like every once in a while, I'll teach a class, whether that be in our farming practices courses or ag business, something that is more aligned with my skill sets. So you might see me on the class listings every once in a while. Mm-hmm. I would also say what's cool about our program is that it's kind of like a melting pot of a lot of different types of people. When you're thinking of who takes our courses, we have students fresh out of high school that maybe more have that familiarity with agriculture through like their ag programs locally or Future Farmers of America. And so they have like a lot of knowledge in agriculture. But then we have some high school students who are just interested in plants, right? And just want to kind of get experience with that. But then we have a wide range of people from different backgrounds and lifestyles and lives that aren't fresh out of high school. Maybe they're going back to school. They've been working in something else and they learn that, hey, I kind of like to get my hands dirty, or I'm kind of a nerd about microorganisms in the soil and that kind of stuff. And so it's just cool to see a lot of different people in our program, kind of working together, getting to know each other. I think it makes it unique that it's not just 18 and 19 year olds. It's mixed, I would say, for sure.
Mm. That must be nice to see.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of times the people that kind of go back to school, like those are the ones that I wouldn't say are the best, but like they're really motivated, right? Like they're giving up like a career or a job that they were doing to go back to school. And so, you know, those people seem to really flourish in our program as well.
It's so interesting to see when people decide to reach out for some higher education. Plenty of farmers for sure want to jump in and get going. You know, they have some experience, they've read the books, and then they reach back later for some, you know, professional trainings and whatnot. And some folks really want to get started with that. They start academically and then get their hands dirty. Mm.
Going to off of that, like if you are, you know, say in a beginning farmer and these workshops maybe aren't matching your schedule, or maybe it's just not the right time now, you know, you can always take just an organic certification class through our program or our spring farming practices, which is just a one unit lab. So you have the ability to kind of get your feet wet a little bit and like what we offer at CR without like just, you know, going for a full class schedule. And maybe that would be something that then you can balance with your work as well.
I'm really glad that you said that. I was just about to ask for more info and clarity on that. I actually took an organic agriculture course.
There's an introduction to organic sustainable agriculture. It's kind of like a broad overview. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I took that maybe 8 or 9 years ago or so, and I really got a lot out of it.
Nice.
It was broad in general, but there were plenty of details that I was picking up and really appreciated going in and taking one class.
Yeah. And I think like a class like that is great for someone that's maybe, you know, really just kind of new into farming, right? And trying to figure mm-hmm. things out. But with the ones that like for farmers that are more experienced that I would be interested in if I were them was like the soil science, the plant science, really like getting deep into the, you know, the weeds of, you know, how the soil structure works, how it impacts our plants. And then just like the recognition of, I don't know, I sometimes like, I'm like, okay, I probably need to be in these classes at the same time somehow. Like, cause they just seem like Robert does a really good job. I've sat in on some of his lectures of explaining concepts, and I could just see that being really beneficial.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Silas. It's been great to hear more about what you're up to over at CR and talk about this program that we're working on coming up.
Yeah, thank you.
So Silas, in the courses in this program, we're going to be covering a whole range of techniques for farmers to develop tools for climate resilience. And we have some really great instructors and guest farmers on board. And I'm curious, Silas, what techniques or approaches do you personally think are the most useful, the most critical for our local farmers? Thinking about what challenges or what changes or adaptations can make the biggest impacts?
Yeah. So I think all the workshops will like have a part in having an impact, right? And then the person participating in it, like, they're going to be able to take what they want out of each workshop, right? And like, I kind of gear it towards how it fits in their farm. But one topic that's like specifically interesting to me is this no-till reduced tillage. It's like quite an, I wouldn't say buzzword, but like of interest in agriculture in general and in organic, right? Because it's very different conventional to organic no-till. And so like understanding the benefits and, negatives of reduced tillage or no tillage, and then like how do you scale it and make it like, you know, profitable and operable. And I'm just really curious to see how that workshop shapes out and what Eddie Tanner, our UC Extension agent, like shares with that, because I think it is something that if you can do it on a larger scale, like say you're a farmer doing 5 acres in produce, that's quite a bit of no-till reduced tillage, depending on your methods, right, and practices. So if it's something that's possible, you know, you're going to be disturbing the soil a heck of a lot less. You might even have reduced labor in the long run. I don't know. I think it's just a topic that needs to be explored more. And there also needs to be more research done on it for farmers versus them just trying it on their own without really knowing, you know, what those expectations might be.
And yeah, I hear you on that. I mean, it's definitely a big buzzword that I hear around. I'm a part of the permaculture community as well. No-till is great in your backyard garden or your homestead. It can work wonders. But on a farm sort of scale, I think of no-till similarly to the term zero waste. You know, like NCGA is working on being a zero waste organization, and you're never going to get there. You're never going to be zero waste. It's more of like a goal. your vision for the future, what would be ideal and beautiful. But reduced till is still fantastic. And thinking about reducing the tillage on your farm can have so many great benefits. So I'm with you. I will be curious to see what ideas people have, what people have seen on farms of scale that can work, and maybe bring in some farmers that can talk about what's worked for them and maybe what didn't work also.
Yeah. And I hope in the future, you know, this summer, we won't have anything set up for that, but for us to maybe do a little research down our farm and if we can maybe get some grant funding to do that. But I've seen like, you know, strip tillage of like, you know, crimping a cover crop and then like just tilling just like, you know, a little 2-inch band and like direct seeding something there. It would be really interesting to see like, hey, how are the weeds going to be, the irrigation, just like, was a cover crop terminated successfully, all those things. There's a lot to that. And then, yeah, you need to define what is no-till, what's reduced tillage. And I think there's going to be differing opinions on that, right? So figuring out what works for your soil and for your operation and what, you know, resources and resources, tractors, well, you know, you do is in a walk behind, that kind of stuff.
You're a realist, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, we'll I just try to imagine, like, I just try to imagine, like, I don't know, me doing a no-till and then, like, you know, since we are diversified, we have a lot of different stuff going on. And then it just, like, turned into a weedy nightmare because we just didn't spend the time on it, right? Or something. I don't know. But I haven't tried it, right? So I think it's worth exploring more for sure.
I know you all, you can't see Silas right now, but I'm watching him rub his forehead as he thinks about having these conversations. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Yeah.
It's what the people want.
Yeah. No, and it makes sense. I mean, anytime, you know, you can avoid using a tractor, right?
Yes.
It's going to save a lot of time. I mean, just this past weekend, we were hoping to do our first planting down at the farm and we got rained out, right? And so the tractor can't go in there, but we had a section that a student had started a living mulch, like between your rows project last year. And so we had like established white clover in between these beds and we had just like let it over the winter just kind of take over, not take over the beds, but just like kind of grow. And we mowed it all in this past month. And so I was like, wow, we're not going to be able to plant these green onions or these brassicas because we're rained out and we can't do anything with the tractor. We can't rototill. And then I was looking at these beds, which had been like just lightly prepped. And I'm like, well, we can plant in these, you know? So It was funny because then all of a sudden here we are just hand transplanting and just knocking out a few beds that would not have nearly, you know, it would have been impossible with the tractor, with the weather and everything.
What a fun trial. Yeah. There's so many different techniques to try out. And just to, you know, like we're going for here, working on resilience. There's a lot of reasons to be climate smart. And you know, resilience is up there. But when you're talking about, hey, you know, what if you don't have a tractor? What if you can't drive your tractor? What if gas is too expensive? You know, here's all these other techniques.
Oh yeah. Yep. No, I'm excited for it.
It's been great to be a part of putting this program together, and I hope that many of you decide to jump in and take advantage of this amazing opportunity. Here are a few key details and dates that weren't specifically spelled out in today's conversation. The entire program will be offered twice in two cohorts. Each cohort will feature summer and winter sessions, and that's two full days in the summer at the CR Shively Farm and two full days in the winter at the main CR campus in Eureka. The deadline to apply for the first cohort is May 12th, and the deadline to apply for the second is November 3rd, 2023. And this program is designed specifically for farmers in Humboldt and Del Norte counties. Prioritization will be given to applicants who are within their first 5 years of farm operation, as the curriculum will be developed for new farmers. The program is offered at no cost, and $500 stipends are available for accepted applicants who identify with one or more of the qualifying categories of social disadvantage as outlined in the application materials. If you'd like to find out more, visit northcoastgrowersassociation.org/resilient. Thanks again for listening to the Humboldt Grown podcast. Share your feedback or topic ideas at northcoastgrowersassociation.org/ag programs. Thank you.